Let us hear the scripture text for the sermon this morning now. Mark, the 10th chapter, at verse 46. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, at the 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. In these verses, we have one of the most touching pictures from the history of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. Touching because in blind Bartimaeus, we see a world of darkness and misery and of our own need for the touch of the Savior in our lives. Touching also because of the unbounded compassion of Jesus when sinners call upon him with all their hearts for salvation. But whatever else we may say about the beggar Bartimaeus who was blind, and this encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, nothing stands out more clearly than his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this passage, Jesus says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Or literally in the Greek, "thy faith hath saved thee." What is saving faith? You know, many may have a kind of faith that is not saving faith. Many say they believe. Many come forward in churches to profess faith in Christ. And the Bible is very clear that many of these are not really true believers. They don't have true faith in their heart. So it's important to know what is a true and saving faith. And we have no better example of it than in Bartimaeus. The New Testament everywhere teaches that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. As we read in John's Gospel this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. But what is it to believe in Jesus? Is it just to believe that he's the Son of God, that the Bible is true, that he is the Savior of sinners, or is it something more than that? It's interesting, the key is in this word, into. Not just believing, but in the Greek text, believing into him. There's something far more going on than just assent to the truths of the gospel. How many there are today that profess to believe in Jesus who are as dead in sins as they can possibly be as they go to church this morning. What could be more important in your life than understanding what true and saving faith is, because those that have it, there are ways to know that you have it. What could be more important? Now, there's no one place in the Bible where you will see a definition. Saving faith is this. And yet there's so many examples of what this faith is that we're going to talk about this morning. And this is one of the best examples that we could find in all the Bible. So first we want to see what are the ingredients of saving faith as we look at this blind beggar Bartimaeus. And then we're going to see that this faith has an unvarying reward, as was the case with Bartimaeus. So that's kind of in a nutshell how we're going to look at this passage this morning. So first, see what characterized the faith of Bartimaeus. And I think we can say that there are three things that we see about his faith. And first of all, he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. In verse 47, he begins to cry out. And we see Jesus with a great crowd following him on the way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus is over on the side of the crowd. Obviously, he'd be trampled to death if he were sitting in the middle of that crowd that is moving. But he cries out, "Jesus, thou Son of David." He calls him the Son of David. In other words, he recognized that he was the Messiah. He believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, because Son of David was one of the most important titles for that office. It was a standard title among the Jews for the Messiah, the Son of David. So, he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David," acknowledging that he was the Messiah. Now, you might say, what is so significant about believing that Jesus was the Son of David, that he was the Messiah? Well, what was significant about it is that he recognized that Jesus was a divine human being. The Old Testament teaches very clearly that Messiah was to be a divine person. Even this title, the Son of Man, which is from heaven and in heaven, speaks of the heavenly origin, the deity of this one that would come to make all things right in the world and to bring salvation. In Psalm 2, God the Father addresses the Messiah in these words, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." The New Testament tells us that that's not speaking to his begetting with regard to his human birth, but his resurrection. It's a prophecy of his resurrection, where God the Father declares that this Son who was crucified is indeed my Son. He brought him forth in glory. But notice, "Thou art my Son," the Father says to him. "This day have I begotten thee." Why do I mention this scripture? Because the Jews would have no doubt this is speaking about the Messiah, all of these verses. Psalm 110, "The Lord," meaning God the Father, "said unto my Lord," David, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Or what about Psalm 45, speaking of the Messiah to come? The psalm says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And what Christian is not familiar with the messianic prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Or we could think of that wonderful passage in Daniel 7 where the Son of Man, full of glory, comes on the clouds of heaven, speaking of his heavenly origin, being of heaven, being presented to God the Father in his coronation and given all the kingdoms of the world to rule over. So when Bartimaeus, as a Jew, poor and blind, calls him, "Thou Son of David," he is ascribing deity and majesty to this one who walks on a dusty road. He may have been blind. He may have been poor, but spiritually he saw that Jesus was a divine being, the Messiah. Others called him the Nazarene, which was a familiar and even a contemptuous term. Yeah, he's a religious person, a prophet, whose origin is Nazareth, an out-of-the-way place, Galilee of the Gentiles. This poor beggar saw what Annas and Caiaphas and all the learned scribes of Israel could never see. They would never confess him as the Messiah. In fact, when in so many words he claimed to be, they thought him to be a blasphemer. It's remarkable because here is a man who could not see the mighty works of Jesus that many others saw, and yet he believed him to be God's Messiah. What a wonderful example of faith. And so, one ingredient of faith is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to believe that in your heart. There is no faith in Jesus without believing that He is the Holy One, without believing that He is the Son of God. You can mark that down. Anyone that is not sure about the full deity of Jesus Christ, fully man and yet fully 100% God, cannot and is not a saved person. The Apostle Paul says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ," and that's that term we talked about in the great benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians last week, the Lord Jesus Christ, His full majestic title as the God-man. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus said to Peter, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say this and some say that, a great prophet, a miracle worker. But whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Do you know why you may not believe this morning in your heart? It's because you haven't been born again. No man can confess that Jesus is Lord, the Bible says, but by the Holy Ghost. There's no evangelist, there's no book, there's no teaching, no science book, no religious book, nothing can make you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the God-man who walked this earth, was crucified 2,000 years ago, that He is the divine Son of God, that He is God manifest in the flesh. Do you believe this morning? Do you really believe? I'm afraid so many people, they just kind of get ushered into church. Their father was in the church, their grandfather, and they come up, they go to confirmation, they say, "Yes, I believe," and their hearts are never really engaged to believe with their whole being. Of course, today, people can be Christians without believing these things. I mean, any church will receive them. In fact, half the ministers or more out there in America today don't believe that He is truly and very God. In fact, many of them will openly say now, I don't believe the tomb was empty. So you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood didn't... You didn't get this from men. You didn't get this out of a book. You didn't learn this from the scribes and Pharisees. You didn't learn this from your pastor. It was the Holy Ghost, Peter, that put this really, deeply, and truly in your heart. Oh yeah, men might say this, that, and the other, but whom do you say? Peter says, thou art the Christ. Bartimaeus had this faith, Jesus, thou Son of David, thou who art the Messiah. Now the second thing I want you to see about this faith of Bartimaeus is that he calls upon Christ for mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, and what is the very next thing that comes out of his mouth? Have mercy upon me. Doesn't say, do me a favor. Look over here. I need help. Have mercy upon me. And I want to say this morning. If you don't know what it is to come to Jesus Christ as a filthy, guilty, hell-deserving sinner and to beg mercy from Him, you are not a true believer. That's called repentance. Because we don't hear much about that anymore. Except ye repent, the Lord Jesus said, ye shall likewise perish. Bartimaeus not only believes, but he, acknowledging that he has no righteousness, casts himself upon the mercy of Christ and trusts in Him. Jesus said, thy faith has saved thee. What kind of faith was it? A faith that senses one's need of mercy. Faith is more, if it's not clear already, than assenting to the truths of the gospel. Believing that God is God, that He's the Creator, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He's a Savior. All these things are important, but they are not the essence of saving faith. Or even believing that Jesus is your Savior. Assenting to that truth. True faith is the heart reaching out to and acting on Jesus Christ out of a sense of need for Him. And this is what you see in Bartimaeus. And how many who go to church today can say, oh, that's me. There was a time when I knew that I was guilty, that all of my works were as filthy rags, that all my life I had been full of pride and independence from God. And they've been brought low, and they have looked up to the Savior. They were glad to hear of Him who bore the load of sin, who didn't just suffer on the cross some terrible thing, but they saw their sin being judged, what their sin deserves, that they deserve to be crucified, and reaching out, receiving Him. Lord, have mercy upon me. You know, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but every Roman Catholic Mass opens with the Kyrie, Lord, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. We need to get some of that in Protestantism today. It's the second ingredient of saving faith. Yes, Bartimaeus was blind, born blind. He had no money. He sat there in the heat, the dusty road every day, begging. Can you imagine a more miserable condition? Every day he went out there, the same thing all over again. You think you've got it bad? Think about Bartimaeus. But as he sits there, he doesn't think he deserves anything. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Many today think that God owes them something. Oh, if there's a God, why didn't he do something for me and all those other miserable people out there? Well, those people will never have faith with that attitude. Faith says, I deserve nothing from God except his wrath and curse. Do you have this faith? Have you ever cried for mercy before a holy God, sensing yourself to be vile? I use that word vile. There's an old man that I had a great deal of regard for, very educated, learned Presbyterian minister. He said, don't forget that word vile. Don't forget the word vile. What do you know to stand before a holy God? It doesn't matter whether it was some revival service, whether you can point to the day or the hour, but how about recently? Bishop Ryle, a well-known Anglican evangelical bishop at the turn of the century, says somewhere in his expository thoughts on the gospel, the Christian's prayer every day should be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Would you go to heaven? Would you be saved? Would you know that God loves you? Then here's the way. Here's Bartimaeus given as an example of faith. There's probably one of the greatest pictures of faith in the Bible, probably as almost as remarkable as the dying thief who saw Jesus at the lowest and confessed him, called him Lord. Have mercy upon me. By the way, you know, all the modern Bibles based upon the Westcott and Hort texts have changed that to Jesus, have mercy upon me, which is the human title of Jesus. You know, the old Gnostics, where the New Testament text was corrupted, to them that God could be on a cross was unthinkable. First of all, it was bad that God could assume human form. But worse, that he could be on the cross. So they taught that the divine Jesus, the divine Christ, had gone back to heaven before the crucifixion. So all you've got is a human on the cross. So they changed the text. Jesus. But, thanks be to God, that thief cried, Lord, remember me. Never forget this. Faith is not believing this and that fact about Jesus. It is the heart acting on him, reaching out to him. You see it in Bartimaeus. You see it in the dying thief. Now there's one more thing, one more ingredient of this faith. And that is, his faith does not rest until he gains the mercy that he seeks. There he is. It's probably a sort of a quiet, a great many people followed Jesus. This was his last time going to Jerusalem. He was on his way there to die, to the Passover. There was a great crowd following him. And maybe they weren't yelling, so they were kind of subdued, but there was a great many, it says, they came to a great number of people followed him. And over there on the side was this troublemaker, Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Be quiet, they told him. Many, not just some, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Can you imagine all these people? Shut up! Jesus is coming by. Now, some people would have been intimidated by that. Okay. Shouldn't have opened my mouth. But not Bartimaeus. Look at what the Bible tells you here. But he cried out all the more, Thou son of David, have mercy, louder and louder upon him. He presses his claim in the face of difficulties. He doesn't care what people think. And when the Holy Spirit of God gives that new birth that we read about in John 3 this morning, and we just happened to be reading through the Gospel of John, when the Holy Spirit renews the heart and brings conviction of sin and puts faith there, they will not be stopped. They don't care what parents think, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends. If they're thought odd and strange and fanatical, they follow Jesus. They press their claim. They will not be turned back. Such is true faith. It's kind of interesting here, Bartimaeus. There was no altar call, no sweet, soft music playing in the background to turn your emotions so that you'll please come forward. I think if they'd stopped the music in 90% of these churches, no one would come forward. You've got to, with the piano player, please come up and play a sweet song so we can have our altar call. Because otherwise, people are not going to be moved to come forward. That's the idea. It may sound like I'm a little bit cruel, but I've thought this very often. Bartimaeus had none of that. Not only that, but he had people discouraging him. Shut up. Hold your peace. He will not be stopped. Why? Because he's got the third ingredient of faith. He persists and will not stop until he receives that which he seeks, which is mercy. And let me tell you, if your conscience is burdened with a load of sin, if you know you are a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, you will not be stopped until Jesus' mercy fills your heart. And you have some assurance that you've been forgiven and that your burden has been lifted. I love the picture in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress when Christian, he's carrying this heavy burden, this huge weight, his sins upon his back. He looks at the cross and he has faith and the burden rolls away. And he's set free. If you have true faith, you won't stop until you know God has received you. Why are so many so half-hearted in seeking Christ today? You ever asked yourself that question? Because they do not see their need of Him. And you will never see beauty and loveliness in the cross of Christ until you see your need of Him, till God has given you a sense of the blackness and darkness and the hell-deserving character of your sins. Bartimaeus knew he was full of evil. It may have been he was born blind as a judgment of God. But this was to be a day of salvation for him. So look at these things. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the divine person from heaven. He calls upon him for mercy with a faith that acts on Jesus, not just believe certain things about him. By the way, you know the reformers, the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages, which was the only church there was, it said faith has two parts, assensus, meaning assent, or the first one was notitia, meaning information. The second is assent. You've got to have the information. Jesus came down from heaven to be the Savior of sinners. Okay. And you must believe that information, give assent. The Reformation came along and Luther and Calvin says there's one all-important agreement, ingredient that you've missed. Fiducia, trust, acting on, engaging with the heart. All three of those, or those faith acting on him. And then third, he does not give up. He persists. And such a faith will never, ever be disappointed. It is easier for the heavens to disappear in a vapor than for someone that has that kind of faith in Jesus Christ to ever be turned away and not have what he seeks. Him that cometh to me, Jesus says, I will in no wise cast out. Do you know why so many are lost today? Because they've never really come to Christ. They believe certain things, they've been confirmed, they've grown up in the church, but they have never really come to him out of a sense of need for him. But that kind of faith will never be disappointed. He presses his claim, and then Jesus hears that cry over there from the edge of the crowd. He stood still, verse 49, and he gave commandment. Probably the crowd stopped when he stopped, and he gave commandment that that man be brought to him. And of course, someone says to the blind man, be of good comfort. Get up, arise, he's calling you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Can't you just see him? He didn't care. Perhaps it was the only shirt he had to his name. Probably was valuable to him, but he was getting away. He cast off that shirt and came running to Jesus Christ. Jesus heard his cry. You know, Jesus was walking along. What do you think he was thinking about walking to Jerusalem? Just on the eve of the Passover, he knew that in a day or two, he would walk through hell to drink the pains of hell in his soul and body to atone for the sins of his elect, those the Father had given to him. That he would suffer as no one had ever suffered or would ever suffer. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that his disciples would forsake him in the end. Don't you think his thoughts were troubled? Oh, the crowd didn't know. They probably thought he was coming to Jerusalem to clean house, to get rid of the scribes and Pharisees and the Romans, show himself to be the Messiah. But Jesus had other things on his mind. But as a human being, as weighed down as he was with these thoughts, he heard the cry of Bartimaeus. He was attentive to that one cry that was almost smothered by the crowd. Jesus stood still, the Son of God on earth. He said, bring that man to me. There is no way in hell that a sinner who comes to Jesus in this way is ever going to be turned away. And you know what's even more wonderful? Jesus said, all the Father hath given. First of all, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I'm going to take it away from you this morning, or rather God's word will. It's not your decision, ultimately. What put this faith in Bartimaeus' heart? The Holy Spirit of the living God. Jesus said, no man can come to me. There it is, coming to him, engaging him, not just believing ABCD about him, No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Glory be to God. God the Father Almighty drew Bartimaeus to Christ. That's why we believe in Reformed churches that this saving grace is irresistible. All the Father hath given me, Jesus said, shall come to me. Suppose they're unwilling. Suppose they're boozing it up all the time. Suppose they're bad sinners. Suppose they have no interest in God. They will be made willing by the Spirit of God. That's called effectual calling. That's called the new birth. That's called the sovereignty of God's grace. And so the saints say, it's not it's not me that found you, Lord, but you found me. I was going that way. You pursued me. You made me willing. You ever heard the hymn Amazing Grace? And a lot of the Arminian Baptists down here sing it all the time, but they don't even know what they're singing. Just grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace! And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Bartimaeus, he got up that morning thinking this is going to be another miserable day, just like yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. Little did he know that God the Father Almighty had appointed this the day of salvation for him. It can all be traced back to God's eternal decree. Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, you were chosen in Christ before the world began, before there were presidents, judges, nations, empires. God, seeing the lost estate of every one of his elect people, loved them, set his love upon them, and sent Christ to atone for their sins. Yes, his faith had its reward. Thy faith has saved thee. Do you know why so many in the churches today will go to hell? Because they never really came to Jesus. The only reason men will be lost is that they don't come to Him. We see all these awful things that people say today. Yeah, it grieves our heart to see that our president seems to put the Christian faith on the same level with Hinduism and the Muslim religion and all of that. All these things are awful. But you know what's more awful is the many that fill up the parking lots and churches today that have never really had, as sinners, an encounter with Jesus Christ, never having come to Him. Do you know what we are reading something in the Bible this morning, in this 10th chapter of Mark, that is more than a history? It is what happens whenever the gospel is preached. When the gospel is preached, Jesus is passing by because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching this gospel to save them that believe. Every time Paul preached the gospel, Jesus was passing by. And there are always some Bartimaeuses. And there's ever a difference in response when the gospel is preached. Many are like the crowd that surrounded Jesus. They were curious. They may have thought he was a good person, a great prophet. Let's see what will happen when we get to Jerusalem. You know, stay away from the crowds, generally speaking. Where are the crowds today? Going after vanity. Just turn on your television set. Many are like the crowd, curious, but not sensing a deep need for Jesus Christ. But there are ever some like Bartimaeus, wherever the gospel is preached. Thanks be to God, because God is still touching His elect throughout the world with a sense of need. Maybe in some of those places we prayed about this morning, in China, North Korea, God has His elect there, and He's touching hearts and opening them to the Savior, whereas here in this country we have so much. We have entertainments, our bands, our concerts, our suppers, our socials. We're so full of activity. No one is suffering. Is there any wonder you can hardly get people to come to church? Or when you do, they're not really seeking the Lord. But there are ever some like Bartimaeus. And the difference is sensing your need of Christ. That's what it really is. No one's going to ever really love Jesus and come to Him, Jesus Christ, who doesn't sense their need of Him. And that means you see yourself not as a pretty good person, a lovely person. I come from a nice family. I'm always cared about other people. But until you see you're doomed, you're lost, you're sinful. I know my school teacher says I'm okay and you're okay. Everybody, there's goodness in everybody. Oh no, don't tell me that. You'll say, there's no good in me. I love this metrical version of Psalm 51, one of the metrical versions. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within, but don't look in me. Perhaps there's someone here this morning for whom it is the day appointed. I say, as the gospel is preached, Jesus is passing by, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is pleased now to speak and to call by His Spirit and by His Word. And if I haven't preached this passage this morning, then Jesus is not passing by. But if I have, He is passing by. He is in heaven. He hears every word, and His Spirit is working. Is He calling you this morning? He's passing by. All the Father giveth me, He says, shall come to me. Bartimaeus got up that morning. He didn't realize it'd be the most wonderful day of his life, different from all the others. That's the way God works. This is not something you conjure up in your mind. This is not something contrived. Church's post revival, August 8th through 12th. I feel like saying, does the Holy Spirit know about that? See, God appointed this day for Bartimaeus. It was His day. It may be the day for you. Well, Bartimaeus, another day, sitting in the hot sun, begging, looking at other people's feet, and occasionally up at their faces. Another day, being blind, but God had other plans for him. Don't listen to me this morning. Listen to this wonderful passage from the Word of God. Perhaps there's someone here for whom this is the appointed day. You, like Bartimaeus, are by the wayside and the gospel is being preached. Perhaps God is bringing you, as I speak, to see your own need that your heart is dark, unbelieving, hell-deserving? Will you cry out to him? Today, Psalm 95 says, and Hebrews quotes this, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. In fact, if you keep hardening your heart, the time may come when the Spirit of God never calls you anymore, never moves upon your soul. He that hardeneth his heart, being oft reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. I can't imagine a more dreadful thing. Will you come to him today? Take courage from the example of Bartimaeus. You will not be turned away. You will be healed. Nothing is a better example of the power of the devil is that people can hear and read a passage like this and turn away and be indifferent. That's the devil's power, to send people to hell forever and ever. The glorious news is, as we read in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, parenthesis out of a sense of need for him, shall be saved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray. We thank thee, O Lord God of heaven, for Jesus Christ, sent down from heaven to be a Savior, whose ear is open to the sinner's cry, who never turns away one who calls upon him in truth. Lord, if there are any here this morning or any listening in some other way to this message, we ask that they may not be deceived, that they may simply reach out to and call upon the name of the Lord, knowing that such a one will never be turned away. We would all hear the word of Christ, who stood still and commanded that Bartimaeus be, that he come, that he be brought to him. And give us ever this true faith in our hearts. Deliver us from pseudo-faith, from formal faith, from the faith that is not unto eternal life, but a kind of faith, feigned faith that is unto everlasting destruction. Even as thou didst say, Lord Jesus, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of my Father, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Grant us this true faith that brings forth, expresses itself in fruits of righteousness and love and humility and walking in the light of the cross, walking every day with thee, our God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.